You know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and feel the presence of God. I was just thinking, this kind of weather, people get sick or they have problems or different things happen to them. But on the other hand, I was also thinking of how convenient it is to get sick on Sunday night. It's so convenient. As a matter of fact, one sister, she just waxed bold. Something was said about her husband being sick. She said, yes, he does that, but said he'll be welcome Monday. I appreciate her being honest and frank about it, you know. But it's so convenient. I remember a couple of boys used to sing from XCRF. I guess they still do. Don and Earl, is it? And someone wrote a song. They used to sing it about the convenience of getting sick on church night, you know, and how quick they recovered, you know, on the following day when it was time to frolic. And they kind of enumerate some of the frolics, and they tell how quick, you know, they recover and how that all of a sudden everything is so good. And it's really amazing. You know, I found times when I genuinely was sick. And as I say, that's easy to do. You can get sick just overnight. But I still want to come to the house of God, and I come to the house of God. And as a matter of fact, to be honest with you, it was at the house of God that I found what I was looking for. I found out it was the world that made me sick, and the house of God was what helped me get over it. People like that are fine people. They're fine people. But they're not Christians. That's the difference. They're fine people, but they're not Christians. A Christian is one that has his spirit, and it is his custom, that is his spirit. His spirit in you, the Bible said it was his custom as he lived. When that spirit lived in his body, it was his custom to be in the house of God every Sabbath. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've got that spirit, you've got that custom. And if you don't have that custom, you don't have that spirit. And it's good to have that custom, to be in the house of God. You watch what I'm telling you now. You think it over. I know that you question the things I say, and that's all right. Everybody's got to live their own life, and they've got to decide their own decisions. You know, they've got to make them. But you watch what I'm telling you. And you take a person that stays out of service 2 or 3 times a month, check up on them and you'll find out they're not Christians. They may come to church, and they may come to church fairly often, but check up on them and you'll find out they're not Christians. You say, well, I just can't believe that. Well, all right, just wait till it goes down the trail a little further, and you'll say, you know what? Things have shown up in this person's life, and I recall things now, and I know that Brother Pike told the truth about that. A person that's really got the Spirit of God, you're not going to keep them out of the house of God. You're just not going to do it. They're going to be there. There's something about it that they're going to be there. They love the Lord Jesus, and they love the house of God, and they're going to be there, and there ain't no way you can keep them away. Now then, we come to church to learn about Jesus and to talk about the Word. So tonight, we're going to go right to the Word of the Lord. I say this so often, I love singing, and I love songs. That is, I appreciate songs. I thank God for songs. I really love the Lord, but I appreciate songs and those kind of things. I don't love them, but I like them, and to me, they're great. Being a songwriter, naturally, I would like them. But there is nothing like the Word of God, and that's why I lay aside everything for the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. It reminds me of a brother that preached the other night. He brought a real good sermon. He really preached beautifully. He was honest, and I believe the boy is really straight. I believe that he is a clean boy. I believe he's trying to do his best to have been in the gospel no longer than he has. I think he does wonderfully. He was telling me how he'd been listening to our tapes and how that he enjoyed them, and he asked for some more tapes before he left. Come down quite a number of months back, and got acquainted with us, and the message had left an imprint on his life and on also on another brother that came down with him that's over in Illinois that gets the tapes. It's asked us to come into that area for meeting. But he told me, said, you know, Brother Pike, said, I really like preaching. And he's a good preacher. You can tell that he is a good singer. He said, I like preaching. He said, but you know, said, what I want, said, I want the deep things of God. Said, I'm looking for the deep things of God. And said, I'm wanting those deep things of Christ. And he said that he'd be back with us Monday, come back visiting with us Monday. But people are hungry for the wonderful revelation of Christ Jesus. That's good to see you here tonight. It's good to have my mother over here with us. I always look forward to Mom coming being with us. And I believe I see Keith up here. I'd been asking about Keith and his companion, and we're certainly glad to have them here with us tonight. We had with us this morning Brother Stan's mother and daddy. And I see Randy's back with us tonight. Certainly glad to have Randy. I saw his little ones this morning. Tell you, they're really something. I saw them this morning. I laid hands on them, and they're as pretty as they can be. But we're always glad to have you come and be with us. It means a lot to us for you to come and take part in the services. And we like to share our enthusiasm for world evangelism. We like to share it with you here in the sanctuary and any others that we can, whether it's by one means or another. It doesn't matter. As long as we can share our enthusiasm, we like to do it. The devil, he constantly works. He tries to work on the throat. He tries to work on the mind. He tries to work on every avenue that he knows how to stop the man of God or to stop the word of God. He did that all down through the years. But he's not able to do it. He's not able to do it. There is something that is greater than the man of God. There is something greater than his understanding. There's something greater than his mind, and there's something greater than his man part, that even if the man part run into complications, that great God from within would still cry out. One writer said on one occasion, he said, I determined in my mind and heart I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to quit preaching, prophesying, or whatever. He said, but I couldn't. He said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. It's not a matter of what I want to do. There's something on the inside that constrains me, that causes me to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is a true fact that there's something that's greater, much greater than you or me, and that is God within us. And that God is forever reaching out for humanity and crying for lost souls, because though you get tired of hearing the human voice a lot of times, especially if it has problems where a man gets hoarse or his throat gets tied up, it's a little repulsive to you. But see, the God on the inside never gets tired of crying out for human souls, because that Spirit of Christ has walked through the chambers of hell, and it knows the nightmare that's ahead of you. It knows the terrible nightmare that awaits you. And it's walked through the flames of a burning fire. It knows the horrors that's waiting you. And because of that, it never ceased to cry. I will set watchmen upon your wall, Jesus said, that will never hold their peace. And that voice never ceased to cry, because one at any time that you pass from this scene of action, at any time that your heart stops, that's the end of the trail. And then after that, it's forever. It's eternally too late to do anything for you. You're cold and steel. If you die in the wrong condition, you're eternally damned. You're cut off from God. There is no way after that to do anything for you. If you don't do it while you're breathing, you don't do it. Now, I know there's a teaching in the world, you know, that they can pray for you. You get down into a certain place, or you go into purgatory or whatever, they can pray you out. And I've studied the history concerning purgatory and where it came from and how it got started. And that's about the nearest nothing that's ever been introduced to the church world. You're talking about beggarly elements and foolishness. But nevertheless, you know, there is no such thing. Once you pass beyond the veil, there is no bringing you back. Einstein sought to come back from beyond the veil, but he found out he couldn't do it. All of his brilliance wouldn't do it. So then, while you're breathing, while you're thinking, while you can talk, and while you can understand, now's the time to do something. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm young and I've got plenty of time. But did you know that's the greatest mistake you ever made? I've said this on numerous occasions as of late, that a statistical survey has shown that more young people are dying than elderly. That the death ratio is higher. That because of their rebellion and because of their contrariness, they're shortening their days by their disobedience. And they are, by means of dope and the different things that is seizing them, actually destroying their generation. Jesus said a sinful generation, an adulterous generation. All they're concerned about is a sign. But nevertheless, God requires of you and I, whether we see a sign or whether we don't, He requires of you and I that we submit and that we live for Him. So we believe to see. And while you can live and talk and breathe and think, now's the time to do something. Now's the time to do something because whether young or old, middle age or whatever, you're going to pass off of the scene. Maybe it be as a young person as many hundreds and thousands and millions have done. Maybe it be as a middle-aged person or an aged person. But you're going to pass off of the scene. It's for sure that one of these days you're going to pass off of the scene. And if you don't do anything for God, if you don't get right with God, if you don't make things right with God, before you come to that condition, it's forever and eternally too late. So then, be sure that you don't think too highly of yourself. You know, be sure you don't get that feeling that because you are you, you're going to have some extra days. And because you are you, that God takes special notice to you. Or because you have special talents and ability, that God thinks more of you than somebody else. Because I tell you with my hands raised to heaven, Paul said, I tell you the truth in Christ Jesus. I lie not. And the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my conscience. I tell you the truth, that God is no respect of your human person. Your human person means nothing to God. It doesn't matter what shape, form, fashion. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. He has not even one inclination of any difference in His mind towards you. Not one. You know, we would love to think, well, God, He has some people in the earth that's a little different. So help me God, according to the Bible, and I've searched it day after day, there is not one tiny inclination, a feeling in any way toward one person as to another. Whether you're black or whether you're white or whether you're red or whether you're yellow or whether you're man or whether you're woman. You know, men a lot of times, they get the absurd idea that because they're male and the woman, she's female, that God feels different toward them. But I can assure you before God, there's not one tiny feeling toward the male more than the female. God made the giraffe with his long, scrawny looking neck. God made the big hippopotamus that seems so out of proportion. He feels just exactly the same about one as he does another. So when you get any kind of thinking in your favor, you know it's Lucifer right then and there. He's setting a trap for you. The best way to do is to remember that you are nothing. Paul said a good thing to think on is that you're less than nothing. We don't even exist in God's mind. We don't even register, as we say on the Richter scale. We don't even exist in the mind of God unless we come into the light of His Son and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and get a new birth in the Lord. We don't exist. He forever puts us out of His mind. He never remembers us again. We're forever put out of his mind. We're not even remembered as a human being, as a creation anymore. So then I exhort you to come to the Lord and think on the Lord while you can. I want to read just a little bit, and I'm like the brother, I love to preach. And I have to admit, I love to teach. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. Jesus was called a preacher of righteousness. But I'd love to talk with you, and since I'm hoarse tonight, I don't know just what I'll do. I may scream at you, I may not. Some folks don't like me to scream at them anyway. Usually when I'm preaching for lost souls, that's what I do. When I'm talking to the church, I love to teach. I just love to talk about the deep mysteries of Christ. You can't get into the deep mysteries unless, you know, there's got to be something happening. There's got to be a hunger and a thirst. There's got to be a certain moving of the Spirit, certain anointing. There's one Spirit, there's many operations. There's an operation of preaching, there's an operation of teaching. There's an operation of exhorting, there's an operation of healing. There's an operation of discernment, there's an operation of visions. There's just many operations. One Spirit, but many operations. And the way God does it, he might operate in this manner tonight. Tomorrow night, he might operate in another manner. It just depends on what he sees in the audience. He may see somebody in the audience that's desperate, that's got to have help. And he'll operate in one manner that night. The next night, the ones that he sees in the audience may be altogether different. And he may operate in another manner. But the thing is, we're interested in trying to find from night to night his desire as to what he would like to do. Let's read from chapter 4. And we've read this numbers of times, but let's read again from chapter 4. The first verse, this is the book of Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And we had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, notice here that there is, first of all, a door open in heaven. The other night, we commented a little bit concerning this, talking about the man that walked around in faith. And the birth of the child, shepherd, and the cutting of the umbilical cord. And I watched, and there's been some outstanding things taking place. Beginning there, and of course still is taking place. I watched yesterday, I believe it was, something was taking place. Something outstanding was taking place. I watched some things transpire that I feel sure that maybe some of you wouldn't understand if I said something about it. Perhaps some of you would. But I saw some things take place that had to do with the accuser of the brethren and the casting down of the accuser. I saw a thing that happened, and I was watching it real close, but also had to do with the meeting over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. I watched this, and I saw how beautifully God worked the whole thing to bring a beautiful picture to the minds of them that understand and to the hearts of them that can see. And how marvelous is his great works. And his ways past finding out. And here I could never have found that out. I could never have known those wonderful works. But because I loved the Lord. And because I was hungering and thirsting. And because I was seeking. And because I was searching. It came to me. It was made known to me. It was open to me. And I saw the beautiful things that was taking place. And even tonight, there's something great and beautiful taking place tonight. And even though many of you will never see it, perhaps some of you will. I hope that you will. I hope that you'll be able to see it. It is a discouraging thought to think that you preach to an audience and that they would not see it. Because the purpose in preaching to them is to be able to get them to see it. But there is nothing that can be received by an individual unless God gives it to him. The Bible said you can receive not anything unless God gives it to you. Unless you have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying or doing, then you won't be able to perceive. You won't be able to understand. But even tonight, there's some great and wonderful things that are transpiring. Reading from this chapter 4, it tells us that there is a door that is open in heaven. Now, I'd like to take my time for just a few minutes and comment on this. There is a door that is open in heaven, not reference to a coming day in the sense that there was a coming day when the door was going to be open. Because at the time that he said the door is open, it had already been open. But to a coming day in the sense that we as individuals would be able to get a hold of this and comprehend this and understand what the Lord was saying and what he was telling John. There is a door that is open in heaven. Does anybody see the door? Has anybody beheld the door? Has anybody found the door? I say this so often, Peter did. Has anybody really found the door? Has anybody really seen the door? Where is the door? And how do you get into heaven? Where is heaven and what is heaven? The question is asked many times. The Lord said to Peter, Peter, who do men say that I am? Some say thou art a prophet. Peter elaborated as to what others had said, but he said, Jesus said to him, who do you think I am, Peter? What do you think? Peter said, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe that you're the Christ. I'm a man, Peter, and I'm conversing with you, and I'm talking to you. We're having a conversation. There's a room around about since I've been born into the world. And people say one thing and people say another. But what I'd like to know, Peter, is what do you think about it? Peter said, well, I believe you're the Christ. So that's my conviction about it. Thou art the Christ, he said, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, there's one thing about it. You're not looking at the man. You're not looking at the man. You didn't see that in the man. I'm undesirable, Peter, to this extent. The Bible speaks of his destination, his purpose, that his countenance was not to be a beautiful thing, that he was to be bruised more than any person that ever lived on the earth. His countenance was marred more than any person. They literally plucked the beard out by the root. They set the thorns upon his head. They smote him across the face with a reed. His countenance was so marred. But looking at Calvary, Jesus said, I'm not a man to be admired. You're not going to admire me, nor are the coming generations going to admire me. For there is nothing about me that shall be admired when it comes to the flesh. For I came for one purpose, and that is I came in the form of a human body. I came in the image of sin. Human beings are in the image of sin, Jesus could have said to Peter. All of the human beings on the earth, this is the image of sin. This is the repulsive image. This is what God despises. This is the part that God cannot tolerate. This is why there must be a blood atonement. Because he cannot tolerate them. They are repulsive in the sight of God. All of their practices, their governments, their ways of life, their doings are contrary to God. And not any of them are good. No, not one. Not the Baptists, not the Amish, not the Methodists, not the Presbyterians, not the Catholics, not the Pentecostals. Not any of them, those that call themselves one thing or another. Whether they call themselves the Church of God or the Church of Jesus Christ or holiness or whatever he said, there is none of them that is good. All of them have gone astray. And I've come in the image of sin. I've come to make an end of this horrible situation. I've come to do away with the image of the beast. All of them are in the image of the beast. All of them are born under the constraint of evil. They're born into sin. And I despise their image, and I've come to do away with it. I've come to start a new generation. And I've come in the image of sin. I've come in the image of the fallen one. And I've come to take this image to Calvary that God may bruise it and that God may smite it and that God may cause its countenance to be marred beyond recognition. that once he pours out his fury upon the bastard image that I represent, having been created in the flesh, that it will all be over. That when he pours out his wrath upon it, when he completely punishes it unto death, they'll take it down and lay it away. And after that, it'll be the beginning of the creation of God. That which pleases him, for I'll come forth in the power of the resurrection, and the bright morning star will then shine, and the new generation will come, and those that are born of my spirit, and those that are born in the resurrectional image that I will bring forth will be his beloved, will be his children, and will have his name and his riches and his glory forever. And their righteousness shall be of me, saith the Lord. I will have them without spot, and I will have them without wrinkle, and I will have them without blemish. And they'll keep themselves all the days of their life, and the evil one will never touch them again. For I have perfected forever these people, and I've sanctified them by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I've done this once and for all, that they will never have a spot of blemish. That in the mind of God, never again will they ever have a problem. I have justified them, I've sanctified them, I've predestinated them, and I have glorified them. And they are my sons and my daughters, and I am their heavenly Father. So then Jesus said, I came in this image, that I might be smitten, and that these horrible things might happen to me, that it might not happen to you, that you may escape it. In that God smites me, he will spare you, to keep from smiting your horrible image of the first birth. Then he will smite my image, and then that will do away with Lucifer, and Lucifer shall be cast out. And that's the very thing that I saw happen yesterday. I saw the wonderful love of God, and I saw what God was doing. And I saw the different things that going to Alaska had to do with. And the things that are happening right now abroad, many multiplied things that contributed to the thoughts and understanding of this wonderful event. Yet the world is continuing on doing the very things they've always done. They are not changing at all. They're just going on the same way they've always went. But while they're doing that, this great, wonderful masterpiece that God has had within the veil is being unveiled. And while they're moving on down the trail of life, God is bringing to surface this great, wonderful understanding. So then, here a door is open. Peter, flesh and blood, hath not revealed this unto you. You're not looking at my natural man that is to be crucified and done away with, but you're looking beyond the natural man. Peter, you didn't get that out of school. This didn't come to you from much study. This is not a human understanding. This is not something flesh and blood has given you. Your brain didn't produce this. But he said, my Father, which is in heaven, hath given thee a revelation. Peter, you've received an understanding that supersedes, that excels. You have gone into another realm. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This is not a revelation of flesh and blood from learning. But he said, my Father, God who is a spirit, my Father hath made known to you something that is beyond the human veil. My Father has had compassion, Peter, and my Father has opened your eyes to look beyond my human being. And you've seen something that the others don't see. He said, now, Peter, I'm the door. You've looked in at the door. I give you the keys. Here's the keys, Peter. Now that you've been able to look in, now that you've been able to penetrate, now that you've been able to look beyond the veil, it means that you have the key, or you couldn't have done that. You couldn't have opened that. So unto you I give the keys to the kingdom of God. So then Peter, realizing that Salvation was in the great name of Jesus. He preached boldly on the day of Pentecost after that Jesus had died for the remission of sins. Peter preached boldly among the apostles that salvation was in none other name but the name Jesus. And that Jesus was the door. Jesus was the door to the kingdom of God. And that the way that you go in through the door is through him, which means into his name. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are safe. So then, here is a door that's open. Peter, you've recognized even before I went to Calvary, you've recognized the kingdom of God. You've seen what I'm here for. You've seen me as the door to the sheepfold. Now, I'm going to Calvary. When I go to Calvary, the door will then be open, Peter. When I go to Calvary, the door will be open, for the veil shall be rent in twain, and the door will swing back. And the glory of God will come forward, and you'll be able to see beyond the veil. That great veil that no man's ever been able to go beyond except the high priest, you'll be able to go beyond it. Now, I know in the Old Testament there was the high priest, Aaron, and I know he could go beyond that veil, and he could see that ark, but no man had ever really been beyond the veil. Aaron never at any time went beyond the veil. This was just a symbolic thing that God had set up in the earth, where he hid behind the curtain this natural ark that was made out of a beaten gold. Something that man had done with his hands. A man-made sanctuary. Paul said an earthly sanctuary, which was a type and a figure of that which was to come. And so no man had gone in beyond the veil. But there was Aaron representing the Holy Ghost, the high priest, that one day would rend the veil and go beyond the veil. And so then there was Jesus hanging at Calvary. And all of a sudden the veil was rent in twain. The veil was rent in twain. And when the veil was rent in twain, then the high priest, Christ Jesus, went beyond the veil. And there beyond the veil, he began to minister to you and I and invite us to come beyond the veil. It wasn't just the high priest alone. In the Old Testament it was. But it wasn't just the high priest alone when the veil was rent at Calvary. He said, let whosoever will come. This has been closed. You couldn't get to the Heavenly Father because of the human person, because of the body of Adam that had taken life into captivity ever since the fall from the garden because of the tree of knowledge. You couldn't get back to God. You couldn't get back into the garden. You couldn't see the glories of God because the veil kept you from doing it. Your fleshly being, your fleshly body, your fleshly understanding kept you from doing it. Not that our bodies is abhorred in the sight of God. Not that our being is abhorred in the sight of God. But in that we have a nature from our first birth that's not of God. It is a depraved nature. It is a sinful nature. It is a cursed nature. And the infiltration of the spirit of Lucifer, it's there, intermingled with our minds, intermingled with our desires. And it stirs up our passions, stirs up our ambition for the world, that we might have position in the world, and that we might be gullible in the world, and we might have all of that which pertains unto the flesh. There is a hunger, there is a thirst, and there is a desire for those things. There is something that makes us carnally minded, as I said this morning, that brings us under the bondage of death. This infiltration causes our image to conform to the wrong thing. Not necessarily our outer image, but our inner image, which is the spirit. It warps our spirit. It causes our spirit to fit a mold of darkness and of intellectual reasoning and gullible desire. Therefore, it causes the outer image to be separated from God and to be repulsive in the sight of God and to practice the degraded things that are in this world that Satan has instigated. So then, there was a veil. But the Bible said when Jesus went to Calvary, he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. And he rent that veil in twain, in two. When he went to Calvary, he rent that veil in two and he separated the Lord from the Christ, the Spirit from the body, as we say. He rent that veil, and the Bible said he made a better way to God, a more sure way, that is to say, through his own flesh, by rending the veil of his own human person. Have you ever heard somebody say, don't say anything to that person, for they'll turn and rend you? The Bible said, don't cast your pearls before swine, or they'll trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. Jesus was rent. And the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. He was rent. They pounced upon him. They beat him. They mutilated the body. They tore into him like a hungry pack of wolves. And he was literally rent. His vesture was dipped in blood when they finished. They rent the veil in twain. So then we see that with this rending, the Spirit pulled itself away from the body that had been mutilated, and the Spirit went back to God who gave it. They rent the veil in twain, and the new way was made, and the door was open in heaven. Now this is what John saw. Remember, he wrote this book just a few years after Calvary, being exiled to the Isle of Patmos. The Spirit called him there to write this book so that you and I would have this information in the coming days, and so that we would know about this door being open in heaven. And so then, here is the door that John saw in the fourth chapter, open in heaven. It was at Calvary. Peter had this key. Peter had the key. What was the key? The Bible makes it real plain as to what the key is. We preached one time in Utica Pike concerning the keys. What is the key? The Bible uses these terms concerning the scribes, concerning the priest, concerning the lawyers of that day. He said, you have taken away the key to knowledge, or the key of knowledge. You've taken away the key of knowledge. You've done away with the key of knowledge. The real knowledge of God. The real key is the knowledge of God. The real key is faith in the name of Jesus Christ, to the knowledge of God, of the understanding of God. What takes me in beyond the veil? The knowledge of God. What causes me to perish at the hand of the wolves of this world? It is the lack of knowledge. My people perish from lack of understanding. The children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. That is, they'll go to college for years. They'll study book after book. They'll spend their entire life purchasing books and studying books to learn to understand the natural ways of life, to obtain the benefits and to have the preeminence. They'll do that in this world. But see, the children of light, a lot of times they won't take any time to learn. They won't take any time to study. They won't make any kind of investment into things of God to come into the great, wonderful knowledge of God. They won't tax their bodies in any way, you know, to do that. Now, I know there's a difference. If you go to college, you're not pressed. If you go to school, you're not pressed. Though much study causes weariness of the flesh, you're still not pressed because the devil's in there pushing with you. Because he likes that. It's the tree of knowledge. He's getting the things of the world. You're preparing yourself for the things of the world. It's inspirational in the world. And when you come to the things of God, you got to press your way in the kingdom. Because he's standing there, he's pressing your body. He's pressing your mind. He's discouraging you. He's showing you how little that it's worth. He's telling you it's not worth much, not worth your time. Have a good time. Don't feel overtaxed. Don't feel under pressure. Don't pull yourself away to have to listen to something. Go and live it up. But folks, there's going to be a great disappointing moment. It's coming to you. It's coming to everyone that dwells on the earth. And when that veil is lifted and they see what they've done, they're going to scream. The Bible said they'll literally scream for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of that great, brilliant brightness, of that wonderful unveiling of truth and wisdom that will utterly consume them. That which they should have been a part of, that which they should have emerged into, of that which they should have been transformated into by coming one with it. At the appearing, they should have been one with it. Jesus, who transformated into that great light. I brought it out this morning. It's on tape. How that he dwelt in the midst of that light. How that this Great wisdom comes from deep down within, the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. How that this great wisdom comes forth from the innermost being. And the Bible said wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. Once this great wisdom is revealed from within, it eradicates all impurities and it takes out all of human reasoning. It does away with knowledge or science, falsely so called. And it brings you the new mind. It brings you the new life. You know, I know this is hard to get a hold of, but when I say it, it'll just be a statement, still hard to get a hold of. But there is a life. This life is an intellectual life. Life consists of believing. Life consists of believing. You have an intellectual life, but you wouldn't even have that if you didn't believe. See, your life isn't from the intellectual perspective in the sense of knowledge, but it's from believing. It's from having a conviction. You believe that you can get up, and you believe that you can sit down, and you believe that you can walk, and you believe that you can eat, and that you can drink, and that you can see, and that you can hear. You believe that. And because you believe that, then you continue to go. Your life consists of just believing that. Just believing that. If you lose your sense of balance, then your life will consist of something else. For instance, if you lose your mind, you won't lose your believing. You'll still be believing. But you'll be believing another way. If you lose your mind, that is to say, you don't lose your thinking. You don't lose your intellectual powers. You lose control of your thinking. You lose control of your intellectual ability. You understand what I'm saying? You go right on thinking, though your thoughts may be weird. Though your thoughts may be hard for folks to understand. You go right on believing. You go right on believing, but your whole world changes. The whole thing changes because your believing is different. You're thinking in a different realm, so you're believing in a different realm. See, so your world consists of your ability to believe. Whatever you believe, that's what you are. Whatever you believe, that's what you are. If a person should lose control of their mind and they believe they're some astronaut, as far as they're concerned, they are an astronaut and there's no way you can ever change it. Always they'll be that. No matter what you tell them, they're convicted that that's what they are. Somebody would say, well, thank God, Brother Pike. I'm not caught in that realm. But beware, you are caught in that realm. If you are not a Christian, you are caught in that realm. If you've not come to God, then you are caught in that realm. If your faith is not founded upon the Word of God, upon the soberness of God, you're caught in that realm. Because what insanity has to do with, what the loss of mind has to do with, it is a typical thing that says that there are people in the world today that has lost their spiritual balance. That's lost their mind in Christ. And they are of a depraved generation. And they become a beastly generation. And they think as a beast. And as it was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, as it was in the days of Babylon, when the great king didn't give God the glory, then God smote him, put him out with the beast. And he lost his mind because he praised the things of the world. The people have lost their minds. They've lost their sense of balance. You can't tell them that because they believe in what they think. As a man thinketh, so he is. If he thinks that way in his heart, so he is. So he believes this. You know, no matter what you tell him, he believes that. Some president believes he's great. You couldn't tell him he's not great. You could never tell the president he wasn't great. Well, he's great. You could never tell a rock and roll singer that's out there beating on a box with a few strings on it that he's not great. He's great. What makes him great? Everybody's saying, hooray, hooray, hooray. A man grabs a little ball, he sticks it under his arm and goes like some silly little child running and turning flips, one trying to break his leg or his neck, and he turns flips till he rolls across the line. And 10,000 others says, hooray, hooray, you're great, you're great. When all of them's nothing wrong, but they lost their mind. All of them are out there doing that. And they really think that they're great. But what are they going to do when Jesus comes? What are they going to do when the truth comes? When the great singers of the earth, when the great rock and rollers, when the great athletes of the earth and the great statesmen of the earth stand before God, how great are they going to be? How great are they going to be? As I said, they won't even register on the Richter scale, as someone would say. See, you're not great. There is no greatness except in God. What is greatness? The Bible said John was great in the sight of God. Because you got a lot of money, you're not great. Somebody says, I'm great. Why are you great? Why, I've got such a stack of paper over here that it takes dozens of bankers to keep up with all my paper. I've got a bunch of junk over there that's been molded in the molds and put to the heat that it just takes rooms to pile it up. I'm great. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a bad situation. It's your believing that's out of order. You've got your mind out of order. Your computer's gone wild on you. Everything is out of order. It's going wild with you. And you're having strong delusions and you're believing a lie. And you're going to be damned. So then, there's a door that is open in heaven. This door brings in a new life. Moses said, I'm going to take you another way. God said, I'm going to lead you a way you've never been before. So then, here is another life. What kind of life? The believing life. The right kind of life. The right kind of believing. What kind of life is this? There's another knowledge that's revealed. And my confidence in it is transformating my inner being. My confidence in this great, wonderful revealing. My confidence in this great light that's coming forth. Someone would say, light, what do you mean? I turn on the lights and the shadows flee away. I turn on the lights and there's no more shadows. There's no more darkness. There's no more confusion. I'm not stumbling as one in the dark. I'm not faltering here and there. A light comes and I can see. I can distinguish. I can tell the difference between images. I can differentiate properly. What is this? There's a great light. This light has affected my mind. It has affected my understanding. And from glory to glory, I'm comprehending. And from glory to glory, I'm changing. And from glory to glory, I'm translating. The Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm transformating into another realm. I'm transformating into another world. I'm transformating into another dimension. I'm going into another era. What is that? It's my believing. My believing. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Enoch changed worlds. By faith, Enoch found that wonderful world, that glorious city that Abraham sought for. Abraham, the father of the believing, the father of the faithful, the one that started it by believing God. Faithful Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker is God. John transformated on the Isle of Patmos. He found that door. He went through that door. When he went through that door, he saw that city. There is the city. The one that Abraham looked for. Father Abraham sought for that city. There's that city, the angel said. Come here, John. I'll show you the Lamb's wife. And he took him away in the spirit. Remember, in the spirit. And the Bible said he saw that great city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for the husband. So then, the door that's open in heaven, Jesus said, I'm that door. What is that door? I'm the Word. I'm the knowledge of God.
I'm the knowledge of God. I'm the wisdom of God. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. This is the supper, this is the Passover that we preached about this morning. See, I'm the Word, I'm Spirit, I'm life, the new life. And you hear, you understand, then you believe, and all of a sudden you change worlds. Your mind transformates, and you change worlds, and you find that you are in another dimension, and you are in another world. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't understand that. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. So then, this great light, it shined in the midst of darkness. It shined in the midst of intellectual people. It shined in the midst of the colleges and the professors. But the Bible said they couldn't comprehend it. The light shined, but they couldn't comprehend it. But the Bible said that you can comprehend it. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this great thing. Here's this great knowledge. I'm the Word. I'm wisdom. I'm understanding. This is my flesh. This is my blood. Eat this bread of life. Drink this blood. And those great men left and they said, we don't understand this. How can you do this? This is a hard saying. Who can receive such a saying? But the 12 stayed. See, transformating. Hearing. Hearing with the ears the Spirit has given him. And seeing with your eyes of understanding as it becomes enlightened. And the great Ancient of Days begins to appear. The great light begins to come. And all of a sudden, this knowledge that you've received, this understanding that you've heard, you begin to believe and it turns into words of life and another dimension. And you find yourself transformating. It's Paul being transformated until he went into the third heaven from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's John that was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and began to transformate and found himself in that other dimension. As Elijah that believed God even in his day and found himself in the realm where the angels was and the fiery chariots. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I remember the time when the chariot came down and when the horses began to prance around and Elijah took his trip away and he went into that world. No, that wasn't it. It only came down, that is, it revealed itself so that Elisha could see it, so that Elisha would have that anointing in the earth, so that his faith would be inspired. He would say, my God, I've seen something that nobody else ever seen. Most assuredly, God is real. He took that mantle and he threw it down at the Jordan and said, where is the God of Elijah? And shoo, the waters went back like that. See, but Elijah had been walking with those things all the time. That prophet had been walking with God all the time. He'd been in those realms all the time. There, the prancing horses and the fiery chariots had been there all the time. And it just came time for Elijah to take a ride on one of them. He had transformated into another world. He'd went into another dimension. See, where are we tonight? I'm not of this world. I am not of this world, somebody says, Brother Pine, but you've got to understand that we're natural people, that we're in the flesh. But the Bible said we're not in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. It says we're not in the flesh, for God has chosen us out of the flesh. And that we are not in the flesh is dead by Calvary. My spirit went back to God who gave it. I am not in the flesh. I don't walk in the flesh. I don't war after the flesh. I'm not interested in the things of the flesh. See, I am in the Spirit. God has chosen me out of this world. Hid me with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. The same way that he translated Enoch into the kingdom of God. The Bible said God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. My innermost being has been translated into the kingdom of God just as much as Enoch was. Just as much. I say this again. Enoch being not under the law, by faith could be justified and translated into the kingdom of God. Here I am not under the law. Whereas he was on this side of the law, I am on the other side of the law. And today the law being folded up and laid away by the body of Jesus, I have faith in God. All I have to do is be justified by faith. And Christ has fulfilled the righteousness of the law for my sake. So then I just believe. And as I believe, as Paul went into the third heaven, I go into the third heaven. Somebody would say, but you can't go there, Brother Pike. Paul went there. Somebody said, but you can't do that. Now, did you know what it was? Paul didn't go there. Paul was already there. It just was revealed to Paul where he was. That's all. When you're born again, the Spirit of God catches your spirit, your innermost being, up to the third heaven. This is what Revelation 12 is all about. In the second realm where the woman was in the second heaven. I wish we had time to elaborate on it. Wasn't hoarse. But anyway, caught up from the second realm, your new birth. See, your spirit went into the third realm. It went into the mind of Christ. It went into the great celestial world. The babe went up to the throne. And so then it was just revealed to Paul where he was at. The only thing that confused Paul was, he said, I can't tell whether I was in my body or out of my body. See, he knew that the innermost being had been translated into the kingdom of God. He knew that it was in the third heaven. But all of a sudden it was revealed to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ made it real to him. And he began to see what he was and who he was and where he was. See, and he said, I just don't know. I don't know whether my body was there or whether it wasn't there. But he said, I know I was there. I know that I was there. So then there is a door that is open in heaven. And the fourth chapter of the book of John, it is shown by the rent veil of Calvary. And the opening of the veil. All of a sudden, the great veil is rent. And all of a sudden, beyond the veil, there is the great celestial. Beyond the veil, there is the great city. Beyond the veil, there is the great things that John saw. Even the brethren that had passed on. For he said, one of the angels said, I am of your brethren, John. Don't worship me. Worship God. I'm one of the brethren, the angel said. So he went to where the brethren was. He did the same thing that Jesus did when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformated. He was transfigured to appear in glory where Elijah and Moses was. See, that means it's just a step away. It's just a dimension away. It's just a faith away. Can I believe it? Whatever I think, whatever I believe, that's what I am. What do you believe, Brother Pike? I believe what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that God has translated me, already translated me, not going to do it. He's already translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. Then where am I tonight? I am in the marvelous kingdom of God. I am in that great world. I am hid with Christ in God. I've crossed over the boundaries. I went beyond the veil. I'm dwelling in that great, wonderful place. That's why my heart is thrilled. That's why I see these beautiful things in heaven. That's why I understand these lovely things that thrill my heart. That's why I don't walk in the flesh, because I don't want to be in the flesh. I have no interest in the flesh. I'd rather be in the Spirit. I'd rather see these things. I'd rather dwell with God. I'd rather love God. I'd rather be part of these wonderful things than to have that which is out there in the world. So then, a door was open in heaven. And Peter opened that door, and the whole world, to the Gentiles and to the Jews, Peter opened the door. And to the whole world, that is to the believing world, there came a door open in heaven. Today, tonight, there is a door open in heaven. What is the door? Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the word. If thou canst hear me, understand me, eat me, believe me, drink me, until I become a living word, until your flesh becomes the word and a living word, until your flesh changes as my flesh changed, until you become the word made flesh, a living word, a quickening word, a spiritual word, a celestial word, until there is no more lying vanity of the first image of your birth. And if you can think on me, believe on me, understand me, discover this great, wonderful knowledge, this great, wonderful wisdom, this great, wonderful light, like Jesus' body transformated into the light, and he alone dwells in the light. You being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, it means that you can transformate into the light, and you, as the body of Jesus alone, shall dwell in the light. But this great wisdom, this great light is so great that it took the shadows to cause humanity to come into existence. It took the shadows to bring the tangible things round and about into existence. You know, I got people here tonight that think that they're in this light. And they believe that they know what I'm talking about. And they hear what I'm saying. And they really cause me problems. Because along about the end of my service, they get so restless, they can't hardly stay. They feel like they've got what I said, and they've comprehended what I've said, and they're ready to go. Well, you didn't get anything. Your very spirit shows that you didn't even come into the realm where I'm at. You just want to go. You're still in the flesh. You want to go. You want to get to your money. You want to get to your world. You want to get to your business. You want to get to your operation. You want to get to your thoughts and get back to your side of it. You don't have anything, brother. I'm sorry. You just don't have it. That's all. See, the child is no much doing. But on the other hand, there are those that sit in the service very patiently, very, very observing, very interested, because they are transforming in that light. And they are going into that world. And they are losing sight of that back yonder. And they're coming into this great, wonderful world. They're creatures of this world. They're those that understand this world. They're those that are ordained for this world. And they're moving into this great, wonderful realm. Not all of them, but just some of them. Few there be that find it, having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Let me tell you again, if you are carnally minded, which means interested in business, interested in money, interested in eating, interested in drinking, interested in passions, interested in your features, interested in your looks, interested in your form, interested in your career, interested in those things that this world has to offer you, you are not born again. You are abiding in death. You are a creature of this world. You are not a creature of that great, wonderful era that we're speaking of in that great, wonderful dimension. There's no need to try to make believe. You might as well confess it. You might as well acknowledge it. You're not one of those. I'm speaking of the bride of Christ. I'm speaking of that great celestial body. Like the preacher said the other night, he preached, he was stimulated. The anointing came down. He stirred the interest of the people because he was preaching. But he himself was starving for the things of God. Starving. See, and when the preachers come and they stimulate you because it affects your flesh when the spirit of the anointing comes down. See, and it stimulates you. Then this thing begins to be interwoven in your body. And you follow them, which is great. That's what you ought to do. But at the same time, they're following this. So that puts them between you and this. And that makes you the followers of those which you ought to do, in that they are your oversight. But remember, there are greater things that God has for you, greater things for the bride, and greater things for them that are your oversight that's moved on into that dimension, because they are wanting to move into a greater dimension. So then you hope to at least move into the dimension that they're in. At least move on up into the dimension they're in. Because that same interwoven feeling of thrills and excitement that you feel with the anointing, or that you feel with the musical chimes, that same thing that becomes interwoven that you feel, that is the same way it is when you really get to the Spirit of God. The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the light of God, it becomes interwoven until it's like beautiful chimes within your soul, and that you're interwoven with it. You know, I thought about this, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I've looked out in the morning, and I've seen the beautiful blossoms of the trees, of the dogwoods and peach trees and whatever. Springtime, I've seen the beautiful flowers. I felt that wonderful, wonderful feeling of the early morning breeze. And I've smelt the fragrance and the smell of the sweet shrubs. And I felt all down through my life, even when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I could feel that youthful drive, that stimulation, you know. And life never grows old. Life never gets weary. I said the other night, life never sees any oppression or depression except through that the devil brings upon it through your human membership, your human instrumentality. Life knows no age. But I've looked out in the morning and I thought, this is so beautiful to smell, to feel, to hear, to taste. It's become interwoven to that extent. And it's so beautiful. The breeze just flows along. It's so beautiful. I thought, this is so wonderful. I'm a partaker. I'm a partaker. This is exciting. But in that the body is oppressed by the demon powers, you don't get the fullness of that. And I've said and I thought, now what if I was part of the breeze? What if I was part of the fragrance? What if I were just interwoven with the breeze and the fragrance? You might not be able to see me. But supposing, rather than seeing the rustling of the leaves on the tree and the swaying of the tree, rather than feeling the breeze upon my body, what if I was part of that wonderful fragrance and part of that breeze, and I was just interwoven and just flowing along, just me as the breeze, as the fragrance, as the wonderfulness of it, just completely caught away in that. Did you know that's what we're going to do? That's what we're going to be. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus, as we see these natural things, Jesus saw the spiritual. And finally he left this body. And finally the body decomposed. And finally the body just become interwoven. From the atomic particles you come to a constitution of a human frame. And when you disintegrate or when you decompose, back to the elements you go. And then you become interwoven with the breeze. You know, even the dust particles and the little things that's picked up, even with the breeze that whirls around and around, and the fragrance that comes from the trees and the sweet shrubs that draw the elements out of the earth to mix with the breeze, that is the sweet shrub smell and the fragrance and the perfumes. See, it's so wonderful because we're moving into that endless world. We're moving into that great world. We're moving into that ever-expanding world. We're moving into that universal move, into the universal things. I wish we had time to comment tonight. Let me say this in closing. We're coming into a new world. God said, Moses, I'm going to lead you by a way you've never been before. And so then he said, you've come past this mountain long enough. Move on out now. We're going to another place. You've been around and around this mountain. You've heard the law. You've learned the word. You've had the battle with the serpents, but we're heading for Canaan. Let's move out now. See, listen, folks. We're going to conquer death. We've got to get over the Jordan. We've got to get away from the serpents. Get away from the intellectual problems. Get away from that by which sin gets its strength. See, we've got to move out in faith. Move out in faith. Start believing what we've heard. Start understanding. That's when time stands still. And that's when time is no more. And that's when there's no yesterday and tomorrow. That's when we come to a place to where there is no time elements and no time barriers. Oh, we could say much about that. There's so many things that I'd like to say about that wonderful, wonderful thing right there. But see, it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful, even the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that tells you that there is a door that is open in heaven. Would you like to go into those places? Would you like to enter into that wonderful adventure that only the eyes of the Holy One can see? For the eyes of the vulture has never seen this. The wayfaring fool has never been there. So then, think on this tonight. Think on this. A lot of things we'd like to say about it. I want you to stand with me. Something beautiful is taking place. Even on the way up here, I noticed some things. The other night, I wore the sweater for the first time. This sweater came from Davis, which is spelled David's son. The Bible speaks of the promise that God made to David and said, David, there shall not fail a man of thy seed to sit upon the throne, even until Shiloh become, the scepter not departing from Judah. And what was it said in the book of Revelation? Weep not, John, for Shiloh is here. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. That is the door that is open in heaven. The seals are taken away, the scales from the eyes being gone. And I noticed coming up, you know, we speak of the word cartridge being a little book. And I noticed Brother Carter was standing out there as I come up. Had the badge on with the lamb and the staff. The authority that we have here at Bethlehem. As I came by, he had, well, I'll show you. He had this, which really means nothing naturally. But he had this in his hand as I came by. Those keys are, they're compiled, they're put together. David Paul, that's a ring that David Paul carries around with him. They're David's keys, as we say, to the extent they've been committed to his trust. But having to do with the door that's open in heaven, and having to do with the resurrection, and having to do with Revelation 19, and having to do with the unlocking, Jesus came forth with the keys. A little insignificant thing that means nothing. But Jesus came forth with the keys when he was resurrected from the dead. You see, right at this time, there's something taking place in heaven. Like the vision I saw, do you see the things that's taking place in heaven? Where is heaven? Heaven is the Spirit. But the keys, Peter, I give unto you the key. The scribes have taken away the key to knowledge. The real key to knowledge. By their intellectual scribe ability and their perverted efforts. Their perverted thinking. They've cut men off from this great thing. Turned what I gave to Moses into ritualistics rather than into spirit and life. I come to restore it. I come to straighten it out. I come to make it right, Jesus was saying. But see the keys. I hold all of these keys in my hand that I picked up on the way here. The keys unlocking the mysteries, unlocking the things of God, bringing us into a way by which we've never traveled before. At this time, many of you don't see it. You won't ever see it. You don't understand it. The Bible said the carnal man receiveth not the things of God. If a man is carnally minded, why, he will never see this. He can walk out while you're talking about heavenly things. He can actually walk out and never even be affected because he never was in the realm. He'll just turn around, walk out, not think nothing about it while you're in heaven. Because all he's doing is hearing something. It's just words to him. So there's nothing to hold him there. But a man that's in heaven can't do that. A woman that's in heaven can't do that. Somebody says, well, I could. There ain't no way. If you're a real child of God, if you can, that means you just didn't get in. But nevertheless, at this time, there's something taking place. What is the thing that's taking place? Bodily redemption. Bodily redemption. This move right at this moment has to do with bodily redemption. Youth will be coming in. We've had some youth come in here lately, some that was with us that left that's come back. We've had quite a bit of youth that's come in. Even in Alaska, we had youth that got stirred up just while we was there. One said to me, said, you've touched my life. A couple of fellas come over that was in college to counsel with us. See, what is it? They're not going to see that drab, dead side of life of formality and church ritualistics. They're going to see this great, wonderful thing that's beyond the veil. That's why they're taking dope. It's a typical thing. They're passing from the natural into hallucinations, into another world. See, it's a type of the children going over the Jordan into Canaan, into that heavenly world. But it's the bodily redemption, which means the youth coming in. Life, new life, renewed life. The eagle renews its life. See, in that moment is here, that hour is here, which means the coming of the Lord is at hand. The world isn't going to see it. They're not going to see it. The great thing of God is going to pass right through them. But something lovely is taking place. And the little foolish, God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Folks, let me tell you. You better start seeking the Lord and you better start humbling your heart. And you'd better start getting your mind on the spiritual things. And you'd better start getting away from your natural side of life. You'd better do it. Somebody says, I believe that. Amen. I know it's going to be that way, Brother Pike. Did you know that's why God has let the youth ramble like he has? They've roamed. They've rambled. They've taken dope. They've lost interest in the world. Why did God do that? Because he's going to bring them into something spiritual. And he doesn't want them with their minds on the natural. The elders die in the wilderness. Let them go out in the wilderness. Let them die in the wilderness, wondering of their intellectual mind, of loving the things of this world. And those that are out there, they've wrecked their reputation and they've lost desire for natural things. And many of them are in jail and out of jail, and they've lost their reputation until they can't get a job anyway. The devil has hounded some of them until they beat them down to where they can't get a job because of their prison reputation. But some of them are slipping in, and they're finding a new life, and they're finding a rehabilitation, and they're finding God, and they're escaping those things, and they're coming more and more into this wonderful spiritual understanding of God. And folks, God is bringing forth a new generation, and he's leading them by a way they've never been before. So then tonight, some great things is taking place. I wish we just had time to really elaborate on these things. But remember, Satan is closing in on the church. Ministers are being thrown into prison. People are being harassed. Things are taking place. Let's just sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it with me one more time? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I want you to bow your heads with me now. Bow your heads with me. Again, coming to the close of another service, another Sunday has gone by. Will we all be back next Sunday? Well, it depends. What is our ordination in life? How long? How long have we got? Where does our life terminate? What town, what city, what place, what position? Whether it be day or night. Will we be here next week? Only the Lord knows. But there's one thing about it. We can have Jesus with us every day, every moment, every hour. No matter where we go, we can have Jesus with us. And folks, you need Jesus. He's your hope of glory. If you got Christ in you, everything's all right. If you have not Christ within you, then you don't have any hope about eternal life. And you don't have any hope of that great, wonderful world of tomorrow, as we say. How lovely. At last, the veil is being moved. The songwriter said, and he rent the veil in two. But you know, rending the veil in two is not enough. There's got to be somebody to comprehend the rending of the veil if it is to benefit us. So tonight, can you comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length of this great, wonderful, marvelous unveiling? Can you? Tonight, where you're standing here and meditating, thinking about the things of Jesus, while you're interested, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy Smith to come up here, pray tonight. And while you're interested, search your heart. See if you're in the flesh. We're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. See if you're in the flesh. Does the things of this world affect you? Does the things of this world move you? Is your hunger and your thirst for the things of this world? If it is, then you are in the flesh. But if not, then you are in the spirit. So then tonight, think it over. Ask yourself the question, Lord, where am I? Where am I? While Gracie is standing here tonight, the Lord's been dealing with Gracie as of late. And while she's standing here tonight, I wonder if maybe in your heart, maybe there's somebody else that's convicted. I prayed for quite a number of people this morning. But I wonder if in your heart, if you're convicted. And I wonder tonight, if you feel anything toward God in your heart and soul, as to that the fact that maybe you haven't done what Jesus wanted you to do, that you haven't been what he wanted you to be. Folks, you're going to die. It doesn't matter what your ambition is, it's all toward the grave. The first birth is unto death, the second unto life. All that you accumulate, all that you come up with, all that you ever have, everything, you're going to die and leave it. Solomon said it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's not going to do you any good. Why labor for the meat that perisheth? Why do you do that? If you labor for the meat that perisheth, then you're going to perish with it. Won't you perish with it? I say this so often. Is not your life more than meat, and your body more than the raiment that you put upon it? Just think. Just think. Are you going to be a son and daughter of God that will live eternally? Is this body that you've got, is it going to be a prize and a precious possession to God that he can by his innermost spirit and his desire mold you into his glorious image? Tell me, folks. Tell me. Is this body of yours going to be given to passions and the gullible desires of life? Or are you going to take your body that is the temple of the Lord, which temple is holy, and say, God, my body, my desire, my ambition, my members, I have given unto thee in dedication and consecration, that I might be one of those great ones, and that in the morning, Lord, you won't despise my image and abhor my image. But Lord, that I might be one of the great ones. One of the great ones that will stand before you. That I might be one of the great ones. For folks, there are some great people in this world. John was great in the sight of God. Elijah was great. Abraham was great. Noah was great. Are you one of the great ones tonight? Are you one of the great ones? If you belong to him, if you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh, then are you one of the great ones, great in the sight of God. Daniel, thou art a beloved man of God. Don't you just long to hear God speak to you? Don't you just long to hear Him speak to you and say to you, O thou beloved man of God, O thou beloved woman of God, don't you long to hear that? You can hear that. You can be the beloved of the Lord, far greater than Daniel, because all of they that were under the law are not equal to them that are born into sonship. And tonight you can be great in the sight of God. Paul spoke of his great women. There were great women in the New Testament. He said, these are great women. There are great men. He spoke of his great men. And tonight, don't you want to be one of those great men? And don't you want to be one of those great women? Don't you? You can. I want you to lift your hands up with me while we're standing here. And I want to take just a few minutes before Jim comes to dismiss you. I want you to just lift your hands up, close your eyes. And I want you to just stop and ask yourself this question. God, what is this preacher talking about? What in the world is he talking about? What is all these things that he keeps saying day after day and week after week? Why don't he run out of something to say? Why don't he give out of things? He talks so much. What is this? Where did this come from? You know, they said one time when concerning Jesus, said, where did this man get this wisdom from? Where does this come from? And ask yourself the question, Lord, what is this? And then ponder. Does it make sense? Does it add up? Does it make sense? Does it sound right? And then say, oh God, if you really believe it now, oh God, Lord, this thing does make sense. This thing seems to me like if I could get into it and be part of it and utilize my faith, well, this would be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to all the world. That if I could just believe, oh folks, listen, faith is exciting. Faith is exciting. Did you know faith is unlimited? Faith is the only thing I know of that's unlimited. In your life, there's nothing that I know of unlimited but faith. Faith is unlimited. We wrote a track on the unlimited God. Your faith. Do you ever try to use your faith? Do you ever try to cultivate your faith? Do you ever try to practice believing? Do you ever try to develop your faith? My. Have you ever thought about what you've got? Faith, the opportunity to believe. Every person has this opportunity. Have you ever thought of how exciting it is that it can bring you anything that you want? Even anything in the natural. Wealth, riches, power, splendor, magnificence. For the Bible said godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. Have you ever just thought like that? Try to use your faith. Brother Roger came to me. He said, Brother Pike, the other night, said, I got to thinking about faith, and I decided to use my faith. He said, all of a sudden, somebody give me a car. I've had that to happen numbers of times, folks. Have you ever tried to use your faith? You get into a bad place to where you can't get out of it. Try using your faith. Try using your faith. You young men and women that's just started your home, you've got children, you've got a little home. Try using faith. Try utilizing your ability in God. Try believing. Try giving your life to God. Try understanding the Word of God and making the Word of God a part of your life. And give your heart to God. Give your faith to God and see if your entire world don't change. Don't just say, well, I give my heart to God and I'm just going to be happy-go-lucky, you know. If it works out, it works out. If it, you know, something comes my way, good and well. I'm a Christian. God will do it. Don't do that. Become a Christian and then start believing. Start studying the Word. Start reading the promises. Start claiming it. Decree a thing in your heart. Watch it come to pass. Remember what Jesus said over in the book of Mark. When he said, whatever you say, if you don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. Isn't it time that we started using our faith? Isn't it time we started practicing this? Isn't it time we started believing in what we've been taught? Decree it in your heart. Folks, put it to work. Give it a chance. And see till your whole life will change. You talking about taking a trip. You talking about taking a trip. The youth get on dope. Talking about taking a trip. I tell you what. If you'll use your faith, you never took a trip in your life like you'll take. Well, they don't know what taking a trip is. You'll take a trip far beyond the moon and the stars. You'll take a trip far beyond human reasoning. You'll take a trip far beyond all the knowledge of the world. You'll go out into a world like you've never been in before. God will lead you by a way that you've never been before. I feel God just talking about it. I feel the quickening of the Spirit just talking about it. It's stimulating, folks. It's quickening. It's so powerful, it raises people out of the grave. This wonderful quickening, this virtue, this stimulation from God raises people clear out of the grave. Think what it can do to the living. Think what it can do to the living. While we're standing here tonight and you're thinking these things over, I want you to transformate by the renewing of your mind tonight. I want you to renew your mind in Christ. I want you to use your faith tonight. I want you to think of something in your heart. You know, there's something that you want. You want peace between you and your wife or husband, your children. You want your loved ones saved. You need something from God. Everybody needs something. Everybody wants something. Tonight, let's decree it in our heart. You think of what it is. You think of what it is. You think of what it is. And then let's decree it in our heart. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, what I need and want is too hard for God. Listen, folks, I said this to somebody today. There is nothing too hard for God. See, how could it be too hard for God? He's the one that made everything. He made the members of your body. He made your eyes and your ears. He made your loved ones. Faith is faith. No matter what you believe, faith is faith. It's not up to us to figure out how it will work. That's being intellectual. But see, if you believe for one thing, it'll happen. Believing for another thing is the same thing. Somebody said, oh, it takes a greater faith. No, it don't. It just takes faith, that's all. Not a greater faith. It just takes faith, that's all. The same faith that will do one thing will do another thing because it's faith. The only difference is you believe for that one thing and you didn't believe for the other thing. That's the way it works, folks. That's the way it works. You see, I just can't understand. I'll tell you what, try it. Try to get a hold of it and see if I'm telling you right. Try it. Don't make things too great for God in your mind. Don't limit God. That's the thing that upset him with Israel. Don't do that. Don't limit God. Don't do that. The thing for you to do is believe God. Believe God. While Brother Jim comes to pray with you tonight, while you're purposing this in your heart, decree a thing in your heart. Be not conform to this world, but be therefore transformed by the renewings of your mind. Believe tonight. Believe. If you want to be a Christian, you know how you become a Christian. You believe. And it was translated by faith. You're saved by faith. You get into his love and presence by faith. I've told you the way. They said, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? Jesus said, you know the way. They said, no, we don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. You know the way. I've been with you all this time. I've told you. You know the way. I'm the way. So then tonight, he's the way. He's the word. He's God. He's the spirit. He's the ever-present one. The present help in the time of need. He's in your heart. He's in your life. Above you, in you, and through you. The world exists or consists by him. So tonight, decree this thing in your heart. Say, Jesus, I'm asking you to save my soul. Jesus, I'm asking you to fill me with your spirit. I'm asking you to give me the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost is talking to you. Don't you feel him? Sure, he's invisible. You don't see him with your natural eye. But you can't tell he's here. Why, he's walking all around. Who is this Holy Ghost? Why, this Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ that resurrected from the dead. That's out there among you when two or three of you come together in his name. You don't believe he's here tonight? Folks, if you don't believe he's here, why did you come? If I didn't believe he's here, I wouldn't be here. Because I want to be where he's at. I want to be where he's at. He's out there walking around just like you walk around. Sure, he walks around just like you walk around. They seen him, he walked through the wall, and all of a sudden he just vanished. But all of a sudden he appeared in their midst. This Jesus, he's present. Gabriel's around. Michael's around. The angelic host is encamped round about them that love the Lord. The prophet said, open their eyes, O God, and let them see. My Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The fiery chariots and the prance and horses. Folks, there is another dimension. You that are born of the Spirit, though you may not be able to see it as of yet because you're babes, yet you're in that dimension. You're in that dimension. Growing up, you'll recognize as your spiritual Christian mind of Christ develops, you'll say, I see it. I see it. There he is. I see him. Jesus said, doing always the things I see my Father do. So tonight, call on his name, ask him to save your soul. Just say, Lord, fill me with that Holy Ghost. Fill me with that Holy Ghost. Fill me. Oh, God, let me feel that quickening, that anointing, that stimulation from heaven. Let me feel it. Oh, God, unlock the mysteries of that great, wonderful, wonderful world. Let me exhale, oh, God. Tonight, while you believe, while you feel his lovely presence, while you're thinking on Jesus, I want you to decree a thing in your heart. I want you to believe with all your heart as our brother comes tonight to pray with you. Brother Jim.